are holding a daf chaf tesam and beis, about 8 lines into the page. Tana Rabbanan. Liftos espinov alos regel. If a guy has enough money to either do pitin aben or to be olol regel, poda espinov acharkach olol regel. He could do pitin aben and then be olol regel. Meaning he should do pitin aben first. That takes priority over being olol regel. Rabbi Yehuda omer olol regel vacharkach poda espinov. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You do aliyah regel and then you are poda the son. You don't do the pitin aben first. Why? Shezu mitzvah overes vizu mitzvah she'ena overes. Because aliyah l'regel is a mitzvah overes. If you don't do the aliyah l'regel, it's not going to happen. Whereas pidyon haben, if you don't do it, you'll have an opportunity later in life to do it. So that's why aliyah l'regel takes precedence. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rabbi Yehuda k'deka amar taima. I understand why Rabbi Yehuda says aliyah l'regel takes precedence. He gave a reason for it. What was his reason? Why does it take precedence? Because it's a mitzvah veres. El Rabbanan mai taimayu. But why did the Rabbanan disagree? Why did the Rabbanan think that Pidyon HaBen takes precedence? Answers the Gemara to Omar Kra, because the Pasuk says, and we quote, Kol Bechor Panecha Tifteh, end quote, you should do Pidyon HaBen, Vahadar, and only after that it says, and we quote, Lo Yiru Panai Rekam. That you have to be olah l'regel. You should not appear before God empty-handed. Meaning you have to go bring a korban, an olas ri'ah, you have to be olah l'regel. So since pidyon haben comes first in the pasuk, it's in the same pasuk. The pasuk says, Petach amar tifteh v'sevin, lo tifteh v'avtov, kol b'chor b'necha tifteh, v'lo yeiro panai reka. So it's all the same pasuk. And pidyon haben comes first, period. So main point number two, machlokas, whether Pidyon HaBen comes first because it's earlier in the Pasuk, or Aliyah L'Regel comes first because it's a mitzvah overes. That's the machlokas. Bless you. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Minayin shem hayulo chamisha banim chamesh nashim shechayev liftos kulan. How do I know that if you have five firstborn sons from five different women, meaning each one is a firstborn to his mother, that you have to do pidyon haben on all of them? Tam lomer kol b'chor b'necha tifteh. Because the pasuk says all your firstborn sons you have to redeem. So says Gemara, pshita bepeta rechem tal rachmana. Of course you have to redeem all of them. The Torah says pidyon haben depends on Peterechem, the first one out of his mother. So if each one is the first one out of his mother, obviously what? Obviously, each one requires Pidyon HaBen. And Sigmar, no, Ma'u detema nelef b'char b'char minachla. I might have thought that we should learn b'char b'char from Yerusha, Nachla's Yerusha, that Mala Halon, just like by Yerusha, Rashis Ono, how do we determine the Bukhar? We determine it based on Rashis Ono, which means the father, Afkan Rashis Ono. So I would think over here by Pidyon HaBen also, we should determine it based on the father, Kamashmul, and that's why we need to be told that that's not the case, that we look at each one as the Peter Rechem, the first one from his mother, period, or two dots. L'lam del Torah. Then we said that one of the obligations a father has to his son is to teach him Torah. Ask Mar Minalan. How do I know that a father has to teach his son Torah? Duchsiv, because the pasuk says, and we quote, "Limata mosam es penecham." End quote. That you should teach your sons. If a guy was not taught by his father, he has an obligation to teach himself Torah, meaning this is very similar to what mitzvah that we discussed? Mila, and also Pidyon HaBen, that at a certain point it stops becoming daddy's responsibility and starts becoming your own. So if a father didn't teach a kid Torah, he's got to teach himself. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, v'lamadetem. It's not just v'limadetem that you should teach, it's v'lamadetem, you should learn. So from the spelling v'lamadetem, we learn that you have to learn on your own. Ay, ihi minala delamachayva. How do I know the mother is not obligated to teach her son Torah? So we're about to go through one of those funny cheshbonos. us again. Well, she doesn't have to teach her son Torah because she doesn't have to learn Torah. She doesn't have to learn Torah because no one had to teach her Torah. No one had to teach her Torah because, and then we'll finally have a pasuk. So we'll go through that whole process again. So how do I know a woman is not chayiv in teaching her son Torah? D'chsiv, vilimaditem, vilamaditem. We could read it as vilimaditem, you should teach, or vilamaditem, you should learn. So we learn from there that kol she mitzuva lilmod, mitzuva lilamed. What does that mean? Anyone is obligated to learn is obligated to teach. But anyone is not obligated to learn Torah has no obligation to teach Torah. So a woman has no obligation to learn Torah, therefore she has no obligation to teach her children Torah. Ask the Gemara, how do I know that she doesn't have an obligation to learn Torah herself? So d'chsiv, because the pasuk says, v'limaditem v'lamaditem, which we learn teaches us, kol sha'achirin mitzuvin l'lamdo, mitzuva l'lamedes hatzmo. Anyone who someone else has an obligation to teach you when you're young, so then you have the obligation to learn on your to learn yourself. But kol sha'ein achirin mitzuvin l'lamdo, but any time other people are not obligated to teach you, then you have no obligation to learn on your own. So why does a woman not have to learn Torah? Because no one has to teach her Torah. And how do I know no one has to teach her Torah? Dharma krav, lamadtem osam espinechem. Pasuk says you should teach your sons. And we darshin, that means, and this is no longer a quote from the pasuk, this is now a drasha, v'lo b'noseichem, but not your daughters. So main point number two, woman isn't obligated to teach a child Torah, because she's not obligated to learn. She's not chayiv to learn, and this is, by the way, a very good sugya we should do. Women learning Torah, because she's not chayiv to learn, which is because no one has to teach her. No one is chayiv to teach her, because it says b'neichem. So that's another one of those cheshbonos like we had the other day. Tan Rabbanan, we have a new braisa, third wide line. Hu lil mod u b'no lil mod. You could pay tuition for one of you, either you or your son. Who should learn? So the halacha is, who kodem libno? Your own responsibility to learn Torah takes precedence over your child's responsibility, your responsibility toward your child. Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. Who's the more talented learner? In b'no zarizu mumulach, v'talmudo miskayim biyado, b'no kodmo. If your son, interesting, three qualifications. If he's zariz, he's like a masmid, he's interested, he's excited about learning. Umimulach, what does memulach mean? So he's going to be successful, he's sharp, he's able to learn well. And v'talmudo miskayim biyado. And we see that he has retention, he has the ability to retain it. So those three qualities, then your son comes before you. Ki had Rav Yaakov, breid Rav Acha bar Yaakov, just like the story of Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Shadrei avu lekameda Abaye. His father sent him to go learn by Abaye, meaning the father could have gone himself, but instead he sent Rav Yaakov. Ki asa chazya delo hava mechad dan shmeite. But when he sent the kid to learn, he saw the kid wasn't so sharp in learning, he wasn't doing so well. Amrlei ana adif aminach. So he said what any good father would say to his kid, I am better than you. Tuv at de ezelana. Why don't you go work and I'll go learn? So you sit on the sidelines, I'm going to go to yeshiva because I can learn better. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov is the one that ends up in yeshiva now. Shama Abaye de kahava asi. So Abaye heard that Rav Acha bar Yaakov was coming to the yeshiva. Havahu mazik beirabanan. There was a certain mazik in the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash, Rashi points out, Bei Rabbanan means Beis HaMedrash. Rachok min ha'yishuv hava, Rashi points out. It was a Beis Medrash that was far away from the community. And a mazik that we're talking about over here is a spiritual mazik, some sort of demon or something like that that was causing all sorts of trouble. They had a haunted Beis Medrash. And you hate when the Beis Medrash is haunted. So so here's what they did. Ha'um maz Bei Rabbanan da Abaye. There was a mazik in the Beis Medrash of Abaye. Dichiavu ailu bitrin. Even if two people would go in together, afilu biyamama, and even if it was in broad daylight, it was in the middle of the daytime,
have a mitzvah key, that would still get hurt. It was still haunted. Normally, when something is haunted, the eitzah is, don't go alone. When there's two people, the ghosts get scared. Or when it's daytime, the ghosts don't come out. It's only at nighttime when you're alone. But this was such a bad ghost that even when this was such a bad shade, that even when he was such a bad demon, that even when it was two people, it was broad daylight, it was still doing all sorts of damage. But now Rav Acha was coming to town. So Abaye says, ooh, Rav Acha is a big tzaddik. So maybe if I send Rav Acha after the ghost, he'll really be able to do something about this. So Amaluhu lo leisiv le'inish u'shbiza. So Abaye told all the guys in yeshiva before Rav Acha came, hey everybody, no one give Rav Acha a place to sleep, and that way he'll be forced to sleep in the Beis Medrash. No one invite him over. Efshar d'misrach shnisa. Because maybe he'll be lucky and, we'll get lucky and he'll have a miracle happen and he'll be able to beat the ghost. I don't know what the alternative, and if not, I don't know, but, okay. Ol basba hu be rabbanan. So Rav Acha came and he slept in that Beis Medrash. Idmilei kitanina deshiva rishvase. And the ghost appeared as a giant snake with seven heads. So Rav Acha started to daven. And he started to bow in his davening. Kol kriya dekara nasr chad reshe. And every time he bowed, another head was chopped off of this seven-headed demon. Amar lehu lemachar. So the next day, Rav Acha said to Abaye and the guys in the Beis Medrash, ilo esrachish nisa sekintin. You know, if a miracle wouldn't have happened for me, that could have been kind of dangerous. You know, that was not funny. But all's well that ends well. So they ended up killing the ghost. Period. Make of it what you want to. Tan rabbanan. We have a brisa now. Lil motor of Elisa Isha. Let's say you have an option. You're 18 years old. You graduated high school. You could either go learn Torah or you can get married. So which one should you do? Yil motor of Acharkach Yisa Isha. Learn Torah first, then get married. V'imiyev shalo below Isha. But if you just can't help yourself, you need a wife. Yisa Isha v'Acharkach Yil motor. Then get married and you'll learn Torah later. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, halacha nosi isha v'achar kach yilma Torah. The halacha is you should get married and then learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says, what? Rechayim b'tzavaro v'yasuk b'torah? He's going to have this yoke on his neck of the burden of supporting a family, and he's going to be able to learn Torah. It's going to be impossible. You know when it's really easy to learn Torah? When you're single and you have no worries and someone's supporting you. So you go off to Israel and you learn Torah and there's no worries. Guy's going to have a wife and he's going to have to support her and worry about her and he's going to learn Torah. It's never going to happen. So v'lo pligi, they're not really arguing. Halan v'halahu. One of these statements is for people who live in Bavel, the other is for people who live in Eretz Yisrael. For one of those communities, we recommend learning Torah first. For the other one, we recommend getting married first. Which is which? Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosos. If you look at Rashi, Halan v'halahu, B'nei Bavel ha'yu holchen v'garsu mishnayus ha'tanoim b'aretz Yisrael. The B'nei Bavel used to go to Israel to learn because that's the only place they can really gain expertise in the mishnayus. So since anyway they're away from home when they're learning, because they were off in Israel, they didn't have to support their wives anyway. The wives would just stay by their parents' house. So no seisha. So then you might as well get married first to have a below hirhur, so that you'll take care of any of your hirhurim problems of thinking about other things. You know that you have a wife, so having that psychologically will help a person. And then you abandon the wife and go and learn Torah. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael, lehu lebnei Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says, halomdim b'mekomam, that learn in their hometown. If no seisha, if he gets married, you tzarche abayis mutalin alav. Then he's going to have to support his family, his wife, vivatlu, and then he's never going to be able to learn. So B'nai Bavel should get married first, B'nai Eretz Yisrael should learn first. Tulsa says, what are you talking about? B'nai Bavel are allowed to get married and then just abandon their wives? That's crazy. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. So Tulsa says the reverse, that B'nai Bavel have to go learn first. They can't get married. It's irresponsible to get married and then just leave your wife. The B'nai Eretz Yisrael can get married first because the B'nai Eretz Yisrael were rich, they had plenty of money, they didn't have to worry about Parnassah, plus they had their wife right there, so it made for a more wholesome beginning of marriage, that they'd be able to learn Torah, and they were married, it was wonderful. Fine, so main point, machlokas whether to learn or get married first, depends on B'nai Bavel or B'nai Eretz Yisrael. But again, we had a machlokas which way it goes. So it depends on Bnei Babel or Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Okay, next, another story. Mishtabachle Rav Chista l'Rav Huna, bid Rav Hamnuna to Adam Gadalu. Rav Chista used to always brag to Rav Huna about what a great man Rav Hamnuna was. You know, he would say, like, you come to your 11th grade rabbi and you're like, oh, Rabbi Friedman was awesome. My 10th grade Rebbe was amazing. And he's like, wow, this Rebbe must have been really awesome. I keep hearing about him. So he keeps telling him, you got to know, Rav Hamnuna was unbelievable. Rav Chista used to always tell Rav Huna, this guy Rav Hamnuna is awesome. So Rav Huna said, I'm eager to meet him. Next time he comes, I'd like you to bring him to me. Ki asa, so when Rav Hamnuna finally came, Chazi de la Parasudra, Rav Huna noticed about Rav Hamnuna that he wasn't wearing a turban, he wasn't wearing a talus over his head. Amarle, my time lo parista sudra, he said, why aren't you wearing a head covering? So Amarle, de lo nasivni, he says, because I'm not married, and only married people wear head coverings. This is also a fascinating sugya. When do you cover your head with a talus? When is there an inyan of wearing a big yarmulke or a hat? Or, well, you know, this is all about head coverings. And why does it matter if you're married, not married? So this is also an interesting sugya. So Hidrun la ape mine. He turned his face away from him. You're not married? He didn't want to look at him. He said, you should know, I'm not going to look at your face till you get married. Right, because he thought it was important for him to get married. Rav Huna l'tamei. Now Rav Huna was following his own opinion. Da'amar, because Rav Huna used to always say, Ben Esrim Shon of Alonasi Isha. If a guy makes it to 20 years old and he's not yet married, Kol Yom of Ba'avera. Then every single day he's violating Averos. So I ask him, Ba'averos al kadaitach? Is that a fact? That really people are violating Averos every single day if they're 20 years old and not married? So Ele'ima Kol Yom of Bihirhu Avera. No, he's probably not actually doing Averos, but he's at least thinking about doing Averos each and every day if he made it to 20 and he's not yet married. Amar Rav V'chein Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. Ad chav shana yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzape la'adam masa yisa isha. Rava and Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel taught that until the age of 20, Hashem is sitting there waiting, hoping, mitzape is and anticipating, when's he going to get married? Kivan she'igia chav, once he reaches the age of 20, v'lo nasa, and he didn't get married, omer tipe chatzmosav. Hashem said, ah, let his bones rot. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, "Haida adifna mechavrai." Rav Chista says, "You may be wondering why I'm so much better than everybody else. The reason I'm so much better than all of my chaverim, than all the other guys in the Beis Medrash, is dinasivna bishitzar, because I got married at the age of 16. It's not because I'm a bigger tzaddik or I'm smarter or anything else. I got married younger at the age of 16, and that's why I'm so much better. We have a nasivna bar besar, and had I gotten married at 14, hava amina, I would say l'satan to the satan." Gira be'inecha, arrows in your eyes, Satan. Take that, pow. Amrle Rava Rav Nassim Barami. Rava said to Rav Nassim Barami, Adidach, Adiyadcha al tzavarei debrech. While your hand, it's Adiyadcha, while your hand al tzavarei debrech is on your son's neck, which means while you still control him, Mishitzar v'adesim v'tarti, between the age of 16 and 22, make sure he gets married. The Amrilan, some say, Mitim Nisrei ad Esrim Varba'a, sometime between 18 and 24, not 16 and 22, but 18 and 24. Says the Gemara Kitanai. That's actually a Machlokas Tanayim. Chanoch Lina'ar Alpi Darko. That's an important concept. That each kid is different. So he's got to get married at a time that's appropriate for him. Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Nechemya had a machlokas about this. Chadamar mishitzer v'adesim v'tartin. One said between 16 and 22. V'chadamar mitim nisrei v'adesim v'arba'a. And the other one said between 18 and 24. So the last main point, machlokas about the ideal age to get married, but it seems that younger is better. Okay, let me write.